Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as he is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Shimmel. How are we doing today?
Praising God, brother.
Amen, amen. Also with us, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic.
Well, praise God. If you guys have seen the title of this episode, you guys have a little understanding of what we're going to be talking about. And that has to do with secret societies, okay? And it's a question. It's stuff we talk about a lot. And I know for me, I've obviously done a little bit of research, but Joe's been hammering this out now, what, 35 years?
Is that giving away my age, bro.
Is that right? Yeah. I'm trying to remember exactly when.
Yeah.
Because Good Fight Ministries is a little older than Blessed Hope Chapel.
Well, it's, Good Fight. Well, if you technically talk about when I started doing They Sold Their Souls, which is called Rock and Roll Sources.
That's what I was thinking.
Over 35 years old.
Okay, so I won't say, we won't go too deep down the woods on that one.
No, I'm kidding. No, I've been studying for years though, yeah.
Yeah, so it's been powerful, and you guys have heard my testimony. If you guys have been on this show and paying attention to the podcast show for any amount of time.
Well, most people don't know that you were, 33 degree Mason, that chat.
I will give this though. There's something I don't know if I've even shared with you before, but when I first came to the Lord, obviously I was like, this stuff is satanic. And I remember after my first service, I got all the Good Fight DVDs and some of the stuff you had done with Chris Pinto as well. And one of them was the Maghetto. And you talked about, he talks about the Masons in there. And then we started talking about it. And I walked up to my grandpa and I said, hey, you know that the Masons, that stuff's evil. That stuff's demonic. And we started talking about it. And he was like vehemently against me, like more so than ever. Like my grandpa loves me, and he usually, would be accepting somewhat, even if he disagrees. And my grandpa was so mad because he had a lot of friends and family members that were Masons.
Yeah, I had an uncle that just passed a couple years ago, 33rd degree Mason.
And I remember, trying to talk to him about it, and he was not having it. And then I was walking out the door, and I went to go shake his hand. I love you, Gramps. I went to go shake his hand. And he did this weird handshake with me. And I was like, what are you doing, man? And he's like, that's a Masonic handshake. And I was like, I walked over to my car and I had the DVD, so I gave it to my grandpa. Mm-hmm. And he went home and he watched it. And I know, you can put a link to that, Tony, for the Maghetto. I think it's number two. And he watched it. And then literally the next day, he's like, I always knew there was something wrong with them. And he was like, they are demonic, So there was some correction brought, which was pretty cool. But nonetheless, we're going to be talking about not just the Masons, a number of secret societies, but I want to do a little bit of housework because, guys, we are coming up. You guys are now into the new year, and we've already kind of expressed a little bit about some of the things the Lord's put on our heart concerning where the ministry's going and concerning Blessed Hope Chapel, Good Fight Ministries, and all the different avenues that we're trying to reach people with the gospel, trying to go out there and edify the body of Christ and also reach the gospel out to the lost world. And one of the biggest ways we're trying to do that is through the Good Fight Radio Network, guys. And it should be starting here in the next couple weeks. And we're really, really excited to get it out there.
Wow.
Get some awesome teachers out there for you guys that we agree with. We want you to be able to have an app that you can click on, that you can say, hey, I'm listening to some good teaching and be blessed by it, guys. So please, please keep that in prayer. Guys, we got that hopefully launching very, very soon. It's all up to Tony to get that going. So
no pressure.
No pressure. So with all that, guys, I want to start off with the scripture because that's what the show's about, right? We're going to talk about God's word and some of the warnings he has, some of the promises, and what best way to see how this text, as Joe said, maybe you should read this text and see how this has anything to do with the secret societies and why this verse would have anything to do with that. So
yeah, you're going to see Satan's been telling secrets for a long time.
Amen. So Genesis 3, chapter 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. The serpent said to the woman, you surely will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. So, Joe, before we get into that text, just maybe explain a little bit, not only how that relates to secret societies, but what on earth is a secret society?
Yeah, you know, it's when we get this video out, please, you guys, brothers and sisters out there, we love you guys. Please pray for our video because it's going to be pretty, hopefully, eye-opening for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mention that, actually.
We're working on a video.
Yeah, we're working on a video on that.
The hidden agendas of the secret society. That will not be the title. We don't give the title out yet. But basically, we'll be looking at the hidden agenda of secret societies. And we'll be doing a number of, you know, podcasts on this coming up. You know, one every, I don't know, couple weeks or so, hopefully. We don't know how that'll work out. But we're actively starting our voiceovers really quick. And we want you guys to be caught up on this because the Bible says, have no fellowship, as you know, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So God is concerned about the things that are done in darkness, especially with regard to those who lie in wait to deceive and who are targeting Christians. And many of the secret societies, they focus on Christians. In fact, it's interesting, even these dark, demonic, diabolical, occult-based societies, we use crosses. You know, whether it's, you know, the Rosicrucians or it's the, you know, Scientology, you'll see a cross on the top of their buildings. You see crosses used by Aleister Crowley. Sometimes in theosophy, but they have nothing to do with Jesus, you know, but everything to do with, you know, subverting Christian truth. So that particular text in Genesis 3 talks about how in the beginning, Satan was offering this secret gnosis, this from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he told Eve that she'd be conferred, you know, divinity would be conferred upon her if she would simply partake of the forbidden fruit and that she wouldn't die. You know, these are all the same lies that are part of the secret societies today. A part of the occult construct of the New Age movement, which has been birthed out of the secret societies. The New Age movement is probably the biggest religion in America with regard to Hollywood and the music industry. And it was birthed literally out of occultism and the lies right there in Eden. In fact, the same lies that were told in Eden, you shall be as God, that you won't die. That's part of the New Age movement. Yeah. Eastern mysticism, part of the New Age movement, that you don't die, you're just reincarnated. We're going to become gods, and it's all through, in the New Age movement, occult or secret gnosis, through occult practices of, you know, the occult arts and so forth, whether it's reading, you know, omens or it's through, you know, channeling spirits, all these things that are forbidden by scripture. So you're going to see in this introductory little message we're doing, and the video, it's going to be very, very impacting because we'll have a lot of imagery. You know, you'll see who these people are, you'll see, you know, their symbols, you'll see a lot of the quotes with your eyes and so forth, but this can be very, very helpful in another way. You know what? There's several things that make up a lot of secret societies, but I've written down 10 different things, and every secret society has maybe at least two or three of these things in common. Some have just about all 10. Number one, I'll just go through these. Secret societies typically contain an outlandish origin myth. If you look at Scientology and where L. Ron Hubbard claims to have gotten his secrets, you know, which he really got a lot of them from the Satanist Aleister Crowley. You're going to start to see a lot of these secret societies that are the most influential are connected. A lot of the people are connected and so forth. So they have usually some ancient origin myth. Same with Rosicrucianism in the 17th century. You know, a five-year-old boy supposed to be in a convent, you know, goes to the Middle East and learns under the, you know, Arabs and then to Egypt and learns all these secret occult secrets. It's usually just a bunch of myths to get people to think that they've got this wonderful esoteric knowledge. Number three, the public is deliberately kept in the dark and misled as to the dark occult belief and practices behind the society's ultimate goals. You know, and that'll be evident in some of the stuff we talk about a little bit later in this episode. Number four, some of the secret society's beliefs are deliberately concealed to lower level initiates. In other words, they don't just deceive the public, but they'll deceive their own followers. In Satanism, even, the Church of Satan, we have a whole article up there called you know, the truth behind satanic cults, where we reveal that, you know, that happens there. It also happens with Masons and various secret societies. Number five, lower level initiates, as in Freemasonry, may even be deliberately misled in the lower degrees. So they'll conceal them, but there's a difference, because number four, they'll deliberately conceal them. But number five, they'll deliberately at times mislead them. They won't just conceal their secrets, they'll mislead them to believe something totally different than is actually true to their own followers. Okay? Number six, secret teachings and practices are only further disclosed as one moves up various degrees of the said society. Number seven, promises are often made that one may attain magical occult powers, excel in anything from business to political prominence, and even achieve divinity. Number eight, secret teachings are sometimes even protected by members being required to make oaths of secrecy, including blood oaths. Number nine, while many secret societies hold out the carrot of occult power and societal privileges, others include the desire of world conquest and the establishment of a new world order. And we'll be talking about that maybe a little bit today as well. Number 10, many secret societies ultimately direct worship to false gods, demons, and even Satan himself. So a lot of the secret societies, even Rosicrucianism, they encourage people, their followers, to bring in, many Rosicrucians bring in Egyptian gods like Horus and others to worship. And, you know, the Satanism of Aleister Crowley, and he was the head of the Order Templi Orientis, he encouraged the worship and service of Satan and so forth. So it's really sad, but when I look at a few of the secret societies today, briefly, because we only have so much time in these episodes, but I thought a good introductory lesson and what I think we can bring to the table that can really help you understand the hidden secret behind these secret societies is they basically, for the most part, share a diabolical essence of identifying with rebellion against the true God, the creator of all things, Yahweh, and the true identity of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Word of God, divine, God becoming flesh. They typically deny those things, and they promote human deification. But it's interesting, there are interesting ties between many of the secret societies. And if I think of the most influential movers and shakers and those who have shaped society, that have headed up secret society and secret societies, I think of men like Albert Pike. And I think of men like who is very influential in Scottish Rite Freemasonry, the largest Freemason Masonic group in the world. Also, Helena Blavatsky, the head of the Theosophical Society, and of course, Aleister Crowley, the head of the Order Templi Orientis. Now, what do all three of these folks have in common? Well, Pike he actually rewrote most of the degrees of the Scottish Rite. That's how influential he was. He was the head of the Southern jurisdiction of Scottish Rite Freemasonry. How influential was Crowley? Oh, he's influenced more rock stars and people in Hollywood than any one person that's come out of the occult. That's for sure. Watch our video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And he's influenced a lot more than that. We show that in our videos. And also Blavatsky, she's considered the most prominent 19th century occultist. She started the Theosophical Society in 1875. She's considered the mother of the New Age movement. The Encyclopedia of the New Age movement refers to her as being the most influential person on the New Age movement. Well, guess what? All three of these people I just mentioned all reference the Garden of Eden and the secret gnosis that Satan gave as something good. So right now we're starting to put our finger on something. And this is all part of a bigger plan, because we're not going to be able to spend much time on getting into where this is going with regard to the spirit of Antichrist and the future Antichrist and how this is preparing the way of the Antichrist.
That's why you're making a video.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, 30 minutes isn't enough for all this.
Yeah, we'll have a few more of these, and as we're going, so the information will be out there, but also it'll be on a video, which hopefully, you know,
this will be a table of really contents good for some of that.
That's right. So Albert Pike. Okay, now keep in mind, Albert Pike was the leader of the Scottish Rite Freemasonry, okay, of the Southern jurisdiction. He actually wrote the rituals of the secret degrees of the Scottish Rite Freemasonry after he got involved in the French Freemasonry and found out, wow, it's far more occultic. And he rewrote the stuff for the United States. And he was a 33rd degree Mason. They gave him a mass salute in Washington when he died. Pike stated, listen to this, and I quote, from his Morals and Dogma. And I have it's a huge volume in my library. It's dog-eared all over the place with all kinds of little pieces of paper, markers sticking out of this book. And it's one of those books I never wanted in my library, and it's still there because I reveal it. So God's called me to reveal this stuff. But this guy states things like this, okay? He talks about the Prince of Darkness, with their consent, made Adam. And he's reciting Gnostic teachings on, you know, how Satan, you know, offers knowledge and so forth in an approving way, as though this is a, you know, great knowledge. The Prince of Darkness, specifically talking about the Manichaeans, which is interesting, with their consent made Adam. The Prince of Darkness made Adam, well, that's what he's writing, whose soul was divine light, contributed by the eons, and his body of matter, so that he belonged to both the empires, that means light and darkness, to prevent light from escaping once the demons forbade Adam to eat from the knowledge of good and evil. So now, the Prince of Darkness is a creator, you know, and the demons were forbidding him to eat from the tree.
I feel like Irenaeus of Lyons would have that earmarked all over as well,
right?
That's right, because in Gnostic inversion, because Satan wants to make good look evil and good look and evil look evil good, and put darkness for light and light for darkness, like it says Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It's what the false prophets did. Satan's adept at doing that. He was trying to make the tree of knowledge look like a good thing to eat from. Remember, he's all about this secret gnosis, and he's about inversion. And now here this guy's teaching, Albert Pike, you know, the head of Scottish Rite Freemasonry in the United States for many, many years. He's stating that this was, you know, he goes on to prevent the light from escaping darkness, by which he would have known the empire of light and that of darkness. He obeyed an angel of light, introduced him to transgress, and gave him the means of victory by the demons created Eve. So now, this was an angel of light. Well, you guys know that scripture where Satan transforms himself into an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
Although in this quotation, he's basically talking about Lucifer being an angel of light as though that's a good thing. And he set Adam free from the demons who created him and wanted him to keep him bound. So this is quite interesting because it's all based on Gnosticism. And this is just the huge inversion. And by the way, we're talking about the secrets of the secret societies here. The secrets are basically what we as Christians already know as to be lies, that man is being offered divinity. And that's basically the essence of the lies. And Masons and other people, many of them, keep in mind, don't think, man, the kid next door, you know, the 22-year-old man, he's a blue degree Mason. He knows this stuff. Most Masons are clueless as to what is being taught in the higher echelons. Okay, a lot of them think, oh, we worship God, the creator of the universe, the architect, as they call him, of the universe. And they're deliberately deceived, as you'll see in a few minutes. So it's interesting that in his Morals and Dogma, Pike calls the Prince of Darkness, Satan, you know, the creator. And he states on page 566 and 567 of the same book, Satan is the sun, the lord of matter, and the secondary angels and demons, children of matter. Satan created and governs the visible world. So for him, Satan is the evil creator of the visible world. The Gnostics taught that Yahweh, who created the physical world, is actually evil, the devil. And it was Sophia or certain good angels or whatever that turned Eve onto, there's different Gnostic tales that encapsulate the same lies, onto the knowledge that would free her from this evil God who trapped her in matter and breathed light into her, or spirit. In fact, Pike glorifies these teachings. In fact, listen to what he writes. And he's quoting a man whose name I don't want to give up just yet. He quotes approvingly, Lucifer, the light bearer, strange and mysterious name to give to the spirit of darkness, Lucifer, the son of the morning. It is he who bears the light, and with its splendors, intolerable, blinds, feeble, sensual, or selfish souls, doubt it not. So Satan, he says, Lucifer is a strange name to give if he's like evil, you know, because he's the light bearer. Now, is Satan the light bearer, guys?
Not at all. They try to make all Satan look good, right? It reminds me of the second part of 2 Corinthians that you already mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
It says, therefore, it's not surprising even if his servants disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. And then you have in John 8:44.
Oh, then go on. Keep reading that, though.
Yeah.
Satan transforms himself, goes on to say.
Whose end will be according to their deeds.
Right, but it says Satan himself masquerades as the angel of light.
Right, in the beginning.
Right, that text, right.
Right, in the beginning right, of that. Exactly. Yeah, you had already mentioned that, so
okay, good.
I just finished up with that. But in John 8:44, It says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. That's the real Satan.
In fact, what was the outcome when Eve partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil?
Yeah,
he basically murdered her spiritually. Yeah. She was separated from God that very day and then physically went back to the dust. And Cain, it says he was of the evil one. What happened to him? You know, he returned to the dust and he became a murderer. And the Bible says no murder in the context of Cain has eternal life in them. That's interesting now because in Freemasonry, Lucifer represents the light of Freemasonry with leading Masonic teachers. In fact, he says Lucifer bears the light. Now, it's interesting. Pike is actually quoting here a witch, a warlock, a sorcerer, a Satanist named Eliphaz Levi, who was totally into the occult and pushing the occult arts. In fact, that symbol of the Baphomet, we have this androgynous creature with a phallus and breast, male and female, an amalgamation of good and evil, which for him was a symbol of the balance of the god he worshipped. Eliphaz Levi is the one who drew that picture. That's used by all kinds of Satanists. If you look at the seal of the Church of Satan, you know, the goat head with horns and so forth, is taken from that. And they have a whole rendition of his Baphomet. So he's quoting from Eliphaz Levi, who was contemporaneous with him, by the way, and was also, by the way, a Freemason, you know. And the Baphomet symbol comes out of it was actually a writing done by him. So I think that's quite interesting. Now, it's also interesting that Levi actually gives up, Eliphaz Levi. Basically, you know, you find the true nature of Satan when you see the Baphomet, you know. There's a lot more going on there. Now, listen to this. This is Manly P. Hall. Now, these guys, when I mention Albert Pike, he's not just some strange guy that had nothing to do with Masonry or was a low-rung initiate. He was a leader, Manly P. Hall. Now, Manly P. Hall, he's considered the greatest Masonic philosopher of all time. In fact, the official, now check this out, the official Scottish Rite Journal, which is the official publication of the governing body of the Supreme Council of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, states in their obituary of Manly P. Hall that he is, quote, Freemasonry's greatest philosopher, quote, end quote. Hall was a 33rd degree Mason. He was also a theosophist, by the way. He was also a Rosicrucian. Starting to see how these guys tie together. These are the most influential Masonic, or I should say, secret societies. Hall went so far as to claim that Satan, not Jesus, but the serpent of old, who deceived Eve through occult knowledge, was the good guy, okay? In fact, he states this in his book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages. The serpent is a symbol or a prototype of the universal savior. You catch that? The serpent is a symbol and prototype of the universal savior who redeems the worlds by giving creation the knowledge of itself and the realization of good and evil. So he says Satan is the universal savior and he's the redeemer of the world. So he makes Satan Jesus. I'm not kidding, guys. This is Manly P. Hall, The Secret Teachings of All Ages. Okay. Also, it's interesting, in The Secret Teachings of All Ages, he also states this, listen, quote, the serpent is true to the principle of wisdom, for it tempts man to the knowledge of himself, meaning the idea that we are gods. Therefore, the knowledge of self resulted from man's disobedience to the demiurgus, which is demiurge. And you guys know who that is, in Gnosticism.
Yes, that's very clear. And what's interesting to me when you tie this, and I know we don't need... you should see the amount of notes he has ready for the next 5 minutes that we have left. But when
we'll just do several parts of this, so we stop anytime.
Yeah, amen.
So please chime in. I want you guys chime in.
No, but it's very interesting when you think about this from Gnosticism. When I think demiurge, when I hear eons and being used in this fashion, it just reminds me of Irenaeus going undercover.
What, the early church fought?
Sitting in the schools. Yeah, exactly. Sitting under their teaching, by the way.
Yeah.
Literally, like, imagine going to a university and then coming out and writing out exactly what they taught.
He was exposing them, yeah.
100% exposing them. And it was the biggest threat to the early church. There's no question about it.
First three centuries.
You can't get around it. And what it tells me is that this is exactly what Ephesians 2:2 says, exactly what Paul said in Ephesians 6:12, the very same thing, that it's the prince of the power of the air working through the sons of disobedience. It's not a wrestling match against flesh and blood. It's against these principalities and these powers and the rulers of the darkness of the heavenly places. It is so, so abundantly clear. So
that's just absolutely, no, and that's important to point out because we actually, a lot of people think Gnosticism started in the second century. Paul the Apostle and the Apostle John are dealing with Gnosticism, incipient Gnosticism, in the first century. In fact, Irenaeus tells us that Polycarp, who sat under the Apostle John, told him that the Gospel of John was written to combat the Gnostics. That's why Jesus is emphasizing, it's different than the Synoptic Gospels, that the Word became flesh, that the Word is God, He created everything, John says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Why does it start different than the Synoptic Gospels? Why is it so different, emphasizing Jesus' deity? Why is 1 John so different? The first few verses talking about we saw Him with our eyes,
yeah,
you know?
Touched Him.
And we touched Him with our hands. Yeah. Why would you write that? Because John's going to go on and say, whoever denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is
Antichrist.
From the spirit of Antichrist. Yeah. And many of their false prophets, it says, it's already being taught. He says, it's already in the world. Satan was already trying to co-opt Jesus, turn Him into some kind of, twist Him into a Gnostic savior to get people away from His blood and deny that He came in the flesh. So John calls the spirit of Antichrist. He says, it's already in the world. He says, and he talks about how the world hears them. That's why it got so big in the second, third century, because people want to hear that we could become gods. So it started to explode. And it's important to understand this because that's what's behind these secret societies. And these are the harbingers of the ultimate Antichrist who's coming. The mystery of iniquity, it says, is already at work. It says the mystery of iniquity is already at work in Paul's day.
Amen.
He says that in reference to the coming Antichrist. John talks about the spirit of Antichrist being at work. So that's what's behind all of this. And when they use the term, they use the term Gnostic, Gnosis, over and over again, and they identify themselves with the early Gnostics, who were the greatest enemies, as Chad pointed out, of the early church. Now, in fact, we'll find out later that in Masonry, the G, which, oh, that stands for geometry, or that stands for God, yeah, to the lower initiates, I've got quotations from leading Masonic authorities who are Masons who say, no, it actually also stands for Gnosticism. But we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here. Can't wait for some of the other episodes. Yeah. So it's quite interesting because Manly P. Hall said that he's the universal savior, right? He said, he talks about, you know, the demiurge, and he says Jehovah. So he even points out that that's the one that they're fighting against, Yahweh. And one of Hall, in Hall's most famous book out of his 75 different books that he wrote, he literally, listen to what he writes in his book, and he was 33-degree Mason, the top philosopher of Masonry. In The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, he writes this, "The day has come when fellow craftsmen," talk about Freemasons, "must know and apply their knowledge." Well, it's occult gnosis, right? "When the Mason learns that the key to the warrior on the block is the proper application of the dynamo of living power, he has learned the mystery of his craft. The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands." Catch that? He will learn when he applies his craft that the seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands. And before he may step onward and upward, he must prove his ability to properly apply energy. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about secret societies that are initiating people into occult powers, into occult lies, and conferring them power of superpowers, occult superpowers of deification. And this is just a blow of mind because this is exactly what the Bible warns about. And of course, this would be happening in the run-up to the very end times. You'd have mass people getting together, collectively seeking to be empowered with occult powers that would bring forth a new world order. So we've run out of time for this episode, but we'll be covering. Let us know if you want us to keep doing this. I mean, we're going to do it either way because we feel led to. But we feel this stuff needs to be exposed because there's a lot going on behind the scenes. And the Lord wants us in these last days to be aware of what's going on and wants us to do more for the truth than Satan is doing for lies. Lift up Jesus, preach the gospel, and press on in Jesus. Love you guys.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California, 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.